Chapter 5. The Milkmaid. The men and women always came down to milk the cows at 4:30 in the afternoon. Each girl sat on her stool, her cheek pressed against the cow's side, while the men had their eyes on the ground. Most dairymen are cross when their milking is interrupted, but Mr. Crick was pleased to see Tess arrive and jumped up from his stool. He needed an extra milkmaid, and Tess told him she wanted to start milking immediately. When she had been at her stool for some minutes, and the milk was pouring between her fingers, she felt herself relax and began to look around. Talbotay's was a large dairy with nearly 100 cows. Even Mr. Crick milked 8 or 9 cows every day. Everyone worked silently, and the only movement was the workers' hands going up and down and the moving of the cows' tails. But later, conversation started again, and one of the dairymen began talking about a cow that lay down when it heard music.
"It's an interesting story," replied a younger man. "It makes me think about many thousands of years ago, when religion was a living thing."
Tess's attention was taken by the person who had said this. He wore the ordinary white shirt and trousers of a dairyman, but beneath his clothes was someone educated, sad, gentle, and different. More importantly, she realised that she had seen him before. So much had happened to her that at first she could not remember, but then it came back to her. He was the young man who had joined the May Day dance at Marlott, then gone on his way with his friends. Tess learned that she would be sharing a room in the farmhouse with 3 other milkmaids, Marion, Retty, and Iz. That night, they whispered to Tess,
"Mr. Angel Clare, the one that is learning milking and plays the harp, never says much to us. He's a parson's son and from a better class than us. And he's too full of his own thoughts to notice girls. He's learning farming. He has learned sheep farming at another place, and now he's learning about dairy farming. He's from an educated family. His father is Parson Clare at Emminster. All his sons are going to be parsons, except for Mr. Clare."
Tess went to sleep, wondering why an educated man like Mr. Clare wanted to be a farmer, not a parson like his brothers. Because Angel Clare was a free thinker and did not want to become a parson, his shocked father had refused to pay to send him to Cambridge University like his brothers. Parson Clare saw education only as a way to work for God. So Angel knew that he needed to find different work, and had gone to London to look for it. But there, he had become too close to a woman much older than himself. He left quickly, deciding that he hated everything about modern town life. At the same time, a friend was planning to move abroad to become a farmer. Angel decided that farming, whether in America or at home, would earn him enough money and allow him to be free of religion. So, at the age of 26, Angel Clare was now a student at Talbotay's and staying in a large room at the top of the farmhouse. At first, he had stayed in this room most of the time, reading and playing his harp. But he had slowly realised that he enjoyed being with the friendly workers. He started taking his meals downstairs with them. He also liked the outdoor life. He loved the changing seasons, the mornings and evenings, night and noon. He loved the winds and the trees and the voices of things that were not alive.
Angel did not notice Tess at first. She spoke so little, and the other maids talked so much, it was easy to miss her. But one morning at breakfast, he heard a voice he did not know and turned to see who owned it.
"What a fresh and pure daughter of nature that milkmaid is," he thought, watching Tess speaking to Farmer Crick.
Angel continued to stare at her and realized there was something in her that he recognized. He was sure he had seen her before, but he could not remember where. But he and Tess did not get much chance to speak until one warm evening in June, when Tess heard the sound of a harp as she was walking through the garden. Then Angel suddenly appeared behind her with the small harp in his hand. Tess, her cheeks burning red, hurried on ahead.
"What makes you walk off in that way, Tess?" Angel asked softly. "Are you afraid?"
"No, sir, not of outdoor things."
"But you have indoor fears, yes?"
"I do too. Being alive is rather serious, don't you think?"
"Yes, I suppose it is."
"But I didn't expect a young girl like you to see it like that just yet. Why do you?" he asked.
"Because I see tomorrows all in a line saying, 'I'm coming, be careful of me,'" she replied nervously.
"But you, sir, can use your music to make these terrible things go away."
He was surprised to find this young woman, who had something very special and rare about her, could have these sad thoughts. And Tess could not understand how a man with a good education should choose to be a farmer and see life so seriously. Neither of them understood why the other thought the way they did, but they wanted to know about each other. Not wanting to ask too many questions, which might be seen as rude, they waited to find out. Every day, every hour, they learned a little bit more. Tess began to see Angel Clare as extremely intelligent. She compared him with herself, the education she'd never had, and became quite sad. He noticed this and asked her what was wrong.
"It's just me," she replied. "When I see what you have read and seen and thought, I feel that I am nothing."
"Please don't worry," he replied, laughing. "I would be very happy to teach you anything about history or..."
"Sometimes I feel I don't want to know anything more about history than I know already, though," she interrupted. "I do not want to learn that my life has been just like that of thousands of lives before me."
Then she stopped herself.
"How stupid he must think I am," she thought,
because in trying to make him think well of her, she had reminded herself of the thing she most wanted to forget, the D'Urbervilles. Then she wondered if he would respect her more if he knew about her grand ancestors. But first, she decided to ask Mr. Crick if Mr. Clare had any great respect for old families who had lost all their money.
"If Mr. Clare hates anything," said Mr. Crick, "then it's what is called an old family. He says they have done their work and can't have anything left in them now."
After hearing this, Tess was glad that she had kept her mouth shut and decided not to say anything to Angel about the D'Urbervilles in the future.